Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so in this house today. And I'm glad to see all of you in the house today. We see a lot of visitors. Actually, I got to confess that I was thinking that we would not have so many people today because it's a holiday weekend, and I knew there were several of our families that were going to be out of town, but I'm looking at you, and this house is full. I'm glad to see you. I know we've covered a lot of things this morning, but in that seat in front of you is a card that looks like this. And this is a card that we'd like to have a record of your visit. If you're visiting with us today, worshiping with us for the first time, or if you've never filled out one of these cards, we really wish that you would do that. And you can give it to an usher on your way out. We'd love to have a record of your visit. And we say, God bless you and welcome to Calvary Chapel. I believe that God is going to really speak to us today. I'm watching the clock and I got to get to talking here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Please turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and just hold your place. Praise the Lord. How many came today and you're ready to hear a word from God? I believe God has got a word for us today. Amen. I believe that it's going to speak to your heart no matter where you are at spiritually. I believe that what God has put in my heart to give you today, I believe it's going to minister to you. I want to talk to you this morning about that. Dry places. Dry places. Dry places. A couple of, it's been a few weeks now. I was ministering out of state at a women's convention, and it was held at a large church. And in the church, they had all kinds of booths set up for women to go around and pick up different literature. And there was a booth there that was just for the church that talked about the church and the ministries of the church. And there was a woman that was standing there. And I just wanted to go over and talk to her. I just went over and spoke to her. And as I began to talk to her, I don't know. I just said to her, tell me about yourself. And she told me, she began to tell me her story. And she's a little bit younger than I am. I'm finding more and more people that are younger than me. It's incredible. But she began to tell me her story, and she said a few years before she had lived out on the West Coast and was very actively involved in a very powerful church with a powerful man of God that was leading it, and wonderful. She was involved on so many levels. She said, I was just walking with God, and she said, you know, God had blessed me with gifts of the Spirit, and I was operating in gifts of the Spirit. Everything in my life was just wonderful and going so well. And she said, I'm a nurse. And she said, I had been involved in nursing for quite some time. And she said, there were things that started happening on the job. And she said, it got very difficult. And she said, I had other personal issues that started happening. She said, I had some physical problems that I began to have, and it kept me from working. And she said, I got kind of down about it. And she said, it was like my dad got sick, and very, very sick, and I had to take care of him. And she said, it just all was just snowballing on me. And she said, I had been so immersed in the church, so kind of like this little handkerchief I have here in this water. Just she was plunged into this place in the church and was doing so well. And she said, and things just kind of started happening. And she said, all of the circumstances around my life, she said, I just felt squeezed. And she said, little by little, she said, one thing and then another happened. And I was overwhelmed with trying to care for my father. I was overwhelmed with trying to hold on to my job. I was overwhelmed with my physical problems that were affecting my job. And she said, I just felt like things were just too much, like it was just squeezing the life out of me. You ever been there? Just too much. And she said, and as a result of all of that, I believe, if I remember the story correctly, I believe her father passed away, which was a terrible loss in her life, very, very close to her dad. And it just took everything out of her. And she said, I had once been so involved. And she said, I asked her, I said, well, how are you now? She also told me she had had a complete nervous breakdown and had ended up in a mental ward herself. And after that, she said, she looked at me. Now remember, she's working at this booth and she's got a sweet smile on her face. How many of us have learned to put a sweet smile on our face, even though inside we're drying up little by little? She said, after I had the breakdown, she said, I think I'm doing better. I said, well, tell me, how are you now? She said, I'm okay. She said, but spiritually, I'm not where I was. I feel so dry. And when she said it to me, a scripture came to my mind. She said, I just feel dry. She said, I love to go to church. And she was still in church. She didn't miss church, but she said, I was there, but I wasn't there. You know what? You know that feeling? She said, I'm just dry. And she said, it's like all of that good stuff that used to be in me. She said, I worry that I'm going to have another breakdown. She said, they've diagnosed me with post-traumatic stress disorder. And she said, I just don't know what I can do. And my heart was just, I was there. My whole purpose for being in that place was to minister to women. And it, you know, that doesn't mean you just minister to the whole group. It means, if it means one woman, and I'm telling you, I feel like God sent me to that place for that one woman. Yes, other women were blessed and helped, but that woman. And I looked at her and I said, I'm going to pray for you. But let me tell you what came to my mind. When she said, I just feel kind of dry spiritually. I've said that before. Have you ever said that? I've kind of gone through a dry spell, a dry season here. And I used to think that that was sort of not a big deal. And then I read the Word of God. How many know that when you read the Word of God will put things in perspective? I want to listen to this scripture. Jesus was talking to a multitude of people, and he was talking about a man that was possessed of the devil. And it says that that man was set free, and he was not talking about a specific man, but he said there was one man. And he said, and when, Matthew 12, verse 43 says, when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, that spirit, he walks in dry places, seeking rest and finds none. I want to tell you that a dry place is not a good place. You and I may try to minimize it, and you and I may try to say, I just feel kind of dry. That's what she was telling me. Just feel kind of dry. It just feels like there's nothing left. She told me, she said, I love to praise and worship. And she said, now I can't even praise and worship God when the people are singing. And she said, it's like everybody around me is being blessed and I'm just dry. I got nothing. It's kind of like the weather this week. You know, they kept predicting all these scattered. When they say scattered storms, they mean scattered. The emphasis is on scattered. Jay and I, we like to watch the radar and stuff, and we'll get out our weather bug and we'll say, oh, let's see if we're about to get some rain. More than one time this week, there were storms all around us. It was raining like crazy, and it just went around Pasadena. Went around my house anyway. I'm telling you, you can be in the midst of when everybody else seems to be blessed and everybody else seems to be getting something, and you can be like her, just dry, nothing left. And so I prayed with her. And I said, you know what? Today's your day. We're going to pray. Because it says that when this unclean spirit, it goes and it roams around in a dry place. The demons love the dry places. That's what I'm trying to say to you. When we say, well, I'm just kind of been dry, we don't understand. We have entered a place where demonic activity is everywhere. It was in a dry place that Jesus was tempted. It was in the wilderness when Satan came to him. A dry place is not just a neutral place. A dry place is a dangerous place spiritually. And if you've come here today and you say, you know, I feel like I've just gone through a dry spell, then God has got a word for you. You're not going to stay in that place. And this woman didn't stay in that place. I laid hands on her and I began to pray for her. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, restore the joy she once knew.
Restore the power of the Holy Spirit that used to operate. Restore the gifts. God, may you stir up the gifts of God. Lord, may she be aware of how much you love her, no matter what she's been through and no matter what it looks like right now. God, I pray, restore her confidence that she can put her trust in you. Let me tell you, and it was a wonderful prayer, and I just finished praying, and she's a real pretty lady, and she had these beautiful blue eyes, and when she cried, it just looked, I mean, I'm telling you, she might have been dry, but that morning she wasn't dry. I'm telling you, sometimes we feel like we're dry until the Holy Spirit gets a touch in our life, till the Holy Spirit takes hold of us, and when he puts his hand on you, you'll find out that there's springs of living water that are still there. Somebody might have drained your well dry, but this morning God, is by his Spirit, is going to pour in that river that flows and never runs dry. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what God's word says about dry places. God says that a dry place is a cursed place. Listen to this. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 8, it says, this is what the Lord says. That's what I want to know. What does the Lord say? What does the Lord say? The Lord said, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength or relies on mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Basically, he's saying you're cursed if you put anything before God. I don't care what it is. That's what in the Bible is called idolatry. And he says it's a curse to give your love, give your attention, to follow after anything. Don't put anything before God. And so he says, if you do that, he said, that person is cursed, and they will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Sounds horrible to me. And I will tell you this, I've been to this place. I know what it is to be dry spiritually. But I love the next part because it says, but blessed. Everybody say blessed. There's a curse and there's a blessing in God. Let me tell you. He says, if you trust in other things, you're cursed and you're going to wind up in a dry place. But he said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Man, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be planted by the river of God. I want to be planted firmly. I don't want to be in a dry place. You see, in the old, if you go back to the beginning in Genesis, God, when he created the earth, and I've kind of had this image, and I think I've had it real wrong. I kind of thought that God had a garden, but everything else was just sort of dry. No, the whole earth was a garden. In the beginning, it was all a garden. And it says, out of that garden, there was a river that flowed. And that river branched into four major rivers that watered the whole earth. And it says that God put man in that lush, green, watered place. You and I were created never to live in a dry place. You and I were created to live in the garden of God. You and I were created to be in a place that was fruitful. You and I were created to be in a place that had all the provision that was needed. So what happened to the earth? If it was once all a garden, what happened? Sin. Just plain and simple, sin. Some people will try to tell you that it's just we need to make better choices. I'm telling you, before I ever made a choice, I was a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are born with this sinful nature. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible says God cursed the ground. Everything had been lush and green and watered and beautiful and plentiful. Do you realize they never had to work in the sense like what you and I understand work? Do you understand Adam and Eve had never broken a sweat? They had not, according to the word, because part of the curse, God told Adam, he said, from now on, you'll have to till the hard ground. It will not yield bountifully to you. You will earn by the sweat of your brow. Up until that point, nobody had ever broken a sweat. That means it didn't feel anything like Houston. Nothing. You don't have to work in Houston to break a sweat. Amen? You just walk outside and there you are. But the earth was also cursed. And it would not bring forth where it had been plenteous. You see, but I want you to understand what God really created us for. God created us to be in that wonderful place. It never was God's heart. So what separated? It was sin. And it always is sin. And whenever we put anything before God, it is a matter of time before we're going to find ourselves in a dry place. A dry place. You know, in the Old Testament, God would use a drought to judge his people. In the days of Elijah, it says that God told Elijah, he said, go tell the people there will be no rain for 3 years. Can you imagine? No rain, not a drop for 3 years. It didn't take long because it causes a drought, and the drought causes a famine. And it says there became a huge famine and there wasn't enough to eat. In a dry place, you cannot produce. In a dry place, life has a difficulty that it has a difficulty in even existing. I'm going to tell you, God didn't intend for you to live in a dry place. But sometimes because of sin, and sometimes because of choices, Israel had chosen to worship Baal. Israel had chosen to worship idols. And as a result, God said, I can't let them go on like this. They're going to destroy themselves. I don't want to curse them. So God just sent a little judgment. And that judgment was a drought. And there was no rain. I will tell you that in the Bible, a drought is never a good thing. It's never a good thing. It says, but this was the thing that King Solomon had feared. When Solomon built the temple many years before, he had said, oh God, what are you going to do to this people if they turn their back on you? Oh God, will you still have mercy? He said, God, if the people go after idols, will you shut up the heavens that there be no rain? That's 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse, where is it? Have it right here. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, just read it all. It's all good chapter. Just read it all. I know that I have it. I'm looking at it. I want to tell you this thing about being blessed and cursed is a choice. It is a choice. Solomon wanted the people to choose rightly so that God wouldn't have to bring judgment on them. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, it says, this day I call the heavens and earth against you as witnesses that I have set before you life and death. This is God talking. He's talking to his people. I believe God is talking to his people today. God is saying, I'm giving you a choice, life or death. And he says, and it is either a blessing or a curse. Now, I don't know about you, but I have taken many multiple choice tests in my life. Haven't you? When you were in school, did you ever take a multiple choice test? That can be tricky, especially I had one in college, and it was either one answer or it was all the answers or none of them. So you really had to study for that. God is giving a choice here. And can I say this? God will always give you a choice. You're as well watered or you're as dry as you want to be today. I don't mean that insulting to you, but I want to encourage you that if you're in a dry place, you can choose. You can choose the living water again. God says, choose life or choose death, Israel. Choose a blessing or a curse. Now, in my book, let's see. Okay, here's the choices. Life. Or death. I mean, who in their right mind is going to say, oh yeah, I'm going to choose death. But every time we sin, we choose death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We choose life or death. To me, it's a no-brainer. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to pray about it. And then he says, and I set before you a blessing or a curse. Now, who in their right mind wants to go, God, I just will choose the curse? Of course not. And yet every time that we put things between us and God, that's exactly what we're doing. God says, when you choose me and you serve me and you love me, the blessings are going to flow. The blessings will be there. Does that mean you'll never have a drought? Does it mean you'll never go anything hard? No. That lady I told you about, she was serving God. You say, well, I don't understand that. Why? Because God uses things to test us. And a faith that cannot be tested, somebody said, cannot be trusted. You know, we go through things and we don't understand why we go through some of the things. But at the end of it, we've got to be able to say, God, I trust you. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. He's the one that's going to be planted like a tree by the rivers of water that will not see when the drought even comes. You'll be blessed. All around you, people can be drying up. But in the name of Jesus, I believe that we as a church, you know, I hear this sometimes and it breaks my heart. Sometimes I hear about churches that close and churches that don't, that maybe they lose a pastor or something happens and they close and the church just dries up. And that breaks my heart. But I want to tell you this, in the name of Jesus, there's not a reason that any church should ever dry up. God has given us His promises. God has given us His word. God has said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We sang songs this morning that says, the mountains shake before you. The demons run and flee at the mention of your name, King of Majesty. There is no power in earth, nor any who can stand against the power and the greatness of the great I am. There's not a reason for us to ever fail. There's not a reason for us to ever live in a dry place. He has ordained that you can drink every day of the living water. Praise God. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, after that Solomon had prayed and said, God, what will happen to our people if they forsake you? What will happen? And he said, God, if they turn back to you, will you hear them? And there's that famous scripture that we quote in 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek. And one version says crave and require of necessity. I'm telling you, do you crave after the living God? Can you live a day without Him? Don't live without God. Don't live a day without God. He says, and those that seek my face, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. I believe this America has become a dry place. It's become a dry place. And with the exception of some well-watered places like this and many churches across America that are saying, we're going to fight to keep the wells running. We're going to fight to keep the wells dug, and we're not going to let anything keep us from it. We're not going to get dry. And I want to tell you something. If you're dry in your soul, don't blame somebody else. Sometimes people say, well, I've gotten kind of dry. I think I need to probably go to another church because I'm kind of dry. Let me tell you something. We offer the living water every Sunday, but you got to drink. We can lead you to the living water, but you're the one that's got to take the cup and you've got to drink. Be responsible for the condition of your own soul. Be responsible for it because He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When Jesus saw the woman that was at the well, she was coming to draw water. This lady was drawing the regular water and Jesus offered her living water. This is a woman that needed some living water. You talk about overwhelmed. You talk about situations in your life that'll just run you dry. This lady was dry that came to the well that day. She had had 5 husbands. In my opinion, that will do it. When you have a good husband, you don't have to ever be run dry. Because there's love and there's joy and all of the things that God intends. But a woman that was broken, and you know we laugh, but there's a lot of broken people. There's a lot of people that had 3, 4, 5 husbands searching. For something that'll satisfy. And Jesus said to that woman that day, He said, give me a drink. And she said, it's unusual for you to ask me for a drink. You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. See, this woman had a lot of savvy about men and lines and lies and things that were said and what's your angle. That's the way she came to the well that day. I'm telling you, when you get dry, you don't trust anybody anymore. You don't always even trust yourself. You just don't know anymore. But Jesus said, if you knew who was asking you, you would ask me for a drink. And she said, sir, you don't have anything to even draw water with. And He said, I'm not offering you that kind. I'm offering you a living water. I'm the living water. And he that drinks what I offer is never going to thirst again. He's never going to thirst again. And if you're in this house today and you're not satisfied, you're not satisfied. You're still out in the world most of the time searching for something or something or someone that's going to satisfy you. Well, if I could just find the right man, if I could just find the right woman, if I could just find the right job, if I could just make this amount of money, I'm going to tell you something. That's a dry search right there. when you come to the end of that thing, it's going to be bone dry. Because the only thing that can satisfy you is Jesus. There's no one that can satisfy you like Jesus. He offered her the living water. He gave it to her. I want to ask who in the house today, and you're like that girl that just told me her story, and she said, man, I was just wrung out. Well, let me tell you the end of the story. End of the story is, okay, that was Friday morning. Friday night, we got into the service, and I didn't see her before church or anything. And the praise and worship began, and it was fantastic. It was just a wonderful time of praising God. And I was on the front row with some of the other speakers. And I looked over, and there was that woman that I had prayed with. She was on her knees. Nobody around her, but she was on her knees. She's the same woman that told me that morning, I can't feel anything anymore. I can't worship anymore. I can't seem to praise God. I just can't get into it. I'm so dry. She was not 10 feet from me, on her knees, hands raised towards heaven, tears streaming down her face, and she was singing and praising God. That's why, because when God touched her, not me, I don't have that ability, but I gave her some living water Friday morning, and she drank it. And when she drank it, every dry part of her was made alive again. Every part of her that had been broken and injured, all that dry, parched looking stuff. Sometimes you meet people and that's what their life looks like, dry and parched. Oh, but when the river of God, which is His Spirit, when it begins to flow, and I'm telling you, the Spirit of God is flowing in the house today. I'm telling you, you say, I don't know if it can reach me. Oh yeah, this one won't go around you, my friend. He sent me to tell you today, you don't have to be like that. He wants to make you well-watered garden. He wants to, and it's an amazing thing that happened. That was Friday night. And I was so excited when I saw her, just hugged her. She didn't even look like the same woman. I'm not kidding. But you know what? When you get water on a dry place, it won't look like that after it's watered. She didn't even look the same. She looked totally different. There was a genuine joy. There was a light behind her eyes. I didn't see any more of that trauma and stress that I had seen in the morning. It was gone because she had gotten into that river of God. She had taken and she drank deeply that day and that night. Well, the next morning, I was speaking again. She came by. She said, I needed to tell you something. I said, oh, okay. And so there was another lady that was already talking to me. She said, I'll wait. She came in and she eventually sat behind me. Now, she wasn't pestering me. I don't want you to think that. This lady just really genuinely, remember I told you that she told me that one time she flowed in the gifts of God? She had flowed. She knew what it was to have the gifts of the Spirit of God flowing in her life and what a joy it was to minister to other people. Well, she came up to me and she said, Debbie, I wanted to tell you something. She said, the Lord, she said, I don't really know what this means. She said, but the Lord spoke something to my heart. And He said to tell you to put the mantle on. And when she said it, I knew that she heard God, because I had not told anyone about what had happened to me a year ago. A year ago, I was at a conference in August in Florida. In one of the workshops that we were in, I was standing there just praising the Lord. I went, you know what? I recognized I was a little dry, and I don't like to be dry. I'm not going to be dry for 5 seconds. I want to have a flood of God that's flowing in me all the time. I cannot stand to not feel that God is right with me all the time. You say, well, you just seem dependent. Oh, I am. I am. I am so dependent on God. I cannot do anything without Him, and I don't want to try. I know what it looks like when I try to do things without God, and it's dry and it's hard. And so I'm standing there in this workshop, and I have a vision. Now, I've not had many, many, many visions in my life, but I had a vision. And I could see my own hands. And in my hands, I saw a robe. It was a mantle. And I know what color it was. I'm not telling you. Well, I'll tell you what difference it makes. White and crimson. And I could literally see it. With my eyes shut, I could see it. But I could feel it. I felt the heaviness of it in my hands. And I opened my hands. I thought, you know what? Now, let me tell you what the enemy does. When God tries to give you something, the devil always tries to talk you out of it. So I'm standing there and I'm thinking, my hands just feel heavy because I've been holding them up so long. And that's what I'm feeling. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to put my hands down. So I did. I left them down for just a little bit. I thought, there's no blood left in my hands. That's why they feel heavy. So I put my hands down, and, you know, I don't know what anybody thought. I was kind of shaking my hands. And I raised my hands, and I'm telling you, the instant I did, I felt it again. I felt this mantle in my hands. And I heard the Lord saying, Debbie, I'm giving you a new mantle. I don't have time to explain to you what a mantle is about, but basically it's a new cloak, it's a new covering, and it's a new anointing. And I was so grateful. I said, oh, God, thank you. Because, God, I can't keep going forward with the mantle. My old mantle is wearing thin. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? That sometimes the things you've had in God, you've used them and used them and used them and used them. But, oh, God, they're a little bit thin. And I said, thank you, Lord. I need this. I need this mantle. I never told anybody about it. It was just between me and God until that morning. Now, I know this sounds crazy. I was so content to know that I had it. It never occurred to me to put it on till she said, I don't know what it means, but the Lord says, put the mantle on. Well, what a revelation. What a revelation. I was like, she looked at me. She goes, I don't know what it means. And I said, I do. Because that very morning I said, Lord, I thank you for that mantle. Still hadn't put it on. And I said, I do. And I'm going to put it on. And I put it on. And I want to tell you something. My life has changed in the last month. My life has changed. I'm not in the place that I was before, and I offer you something this morning. I'm offering you the same thing that he's offered me. He says, come to me, you that are thirsty. Come to me that hunger. He's promised. Do you know, let me read this scripture to you. In Isaiah 44 and verse 3, he says, for I will. Everybody say, I will. This is God talking to you. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. That's a promise. God says, if you're thirsty, I'll pour water on you. I want to tell you this, though. He has not obligated himself to people that say, I don't think I'm thirsty. I don't really need a drink. I'm good. He's not obligated himself to pour one drop on those. He says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And I love this part. He said, I will pour my spirit upon your seed. He said, I'm going to pour. Because see, when we talk about the water, we're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about that living water that Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's the Spirit that is within us. He says, I'm going to pour that Spirit on your seed. You know who that is? That's your kids. Some of you got kids that are dried up. Maybe they never did get in the water. Maybe they never did know what that was. But I'm telling you, he's made a promise that he's going to pour out upon your children. And he says, and on your offspring. Man, I've claimed this word for my kids. I look at my kids sometimes and I'm thinking, you're looking a little dry. As a mother, you know these things. As a mother, you know these things. And I'm telling you, sometimes I look at them and say, they're a little dry, Lord. Pour out. Oh, God, pour out. And then I look at my little grandbabies and I say, God, don't let them ever know a dry day. Don't let them ever experience one moment that they're dry. God, may they always know that your Spirit is in them. Your Spirit is on them. That your Spirit is there to comfort and help them and lead them and guide them. God, don't let my babies ever be thirsty and that not know to turn to you, the living water. I'm going to ask you this question in closing this morning. Are you thirsty? Do you want more? Some of y'all, it's been a long time since you had a good drink. You say, well, what does that mean? I'm telling you, this is living water. It's just a little thunder. It's okay. It's about to rain. Yeah. Hallelujah. Here it is. Here it is, living water. You say, I'm dry sometimes on Monday. Take it out. Open it up. Look, 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 look. Get you a good long drink. Woo, it'll go to every part of you. It'll satisfy every part of you. All those things. You know, I'm at the age where when I get up in the morning, I have to move slower when I first get up. I'm moving good right now, but I've been up for hours. when I first get up. And I think part of it is because so maybe things are a little too dry. But I will tell you this, if you will walk with God and you will let God continually keep a river flowing your direction, there's not going to be a time. You don't have to get dry is what I'm trying to say. You don't have to go to that broken, awful place. And see, this is what I love, because I got to watch this woman. This is what she did while we were at that conference. She came dry, but she plunged right in. I want to know, does anybody want to take the plunge today? Does anybody say, I came in here and I need God to touch my life? I need God to touch my dry marriage. Some of you got a marriage so dry it creaks. I'm not being ugly to you. I'm trying to just define something for you. God wants to pour His Spirit out on your marriage. Some of you got children that are dry spiritually. They're just drying up, and oh, God wants to give them a drink. God wants to just give them the living water that will satisfy them. Your kids are running every direction trying to figure out what's going to make them happy. Oh, I just want to be happy, happy, happy. I'm telling you, if you let them drink of the living water of Jesus Christ, they won't just be happy. They'll be happy and holy. He said, I'll pour water on him that is thirsty, and I will flood the dry ground. I've been in contact with that lady, and I thanked her. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But see, she didn't know. I had to explain to her. I told her, I'll tell you later what it means. And I told her what I told you. And you know what it did for her? She knew. I'm connected again. I'm hearing God again. There's nothing like hearing God. When you go through a dry spell and you don't hear Him, I'm telling you, you get scared. I'll tell you, that dry place, don't forget what I told you about the dry place. It's where demons roam. It says they go into the dry places looking for a place to land. And it says that people that have been set free, if they don't get full of this living water, it says the demon will come back and he'll bring seven times worse with him. Seven times worse. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the living water. I'm going to just give it all to you. I'm going to give you earth, wind, and fire here this morning. You need the fire of the Holy Ghost. You need the wind of God. You know, all of this is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You need the dove to land on your shoulder and stay. Not in and out. When the Holy Spirit comes, He comes to stay. I said this, and I really am closing. This last Sunday morning at 3:30, those of you being baptized, please go get ready. They're going to take the plunge this morning. Last Sunday morning at 3:30, there was a large earthquake that took place in Napa, California, the northern part of California. Did you hear about it? Shook things up over there. Right in the middle of wine country. One of the pictures that I saw said that it shook so violently that it burst the barrels in the wineries. Did you see it? It burst the barrels and the wine ran into the streets. If you know anything about the Word of God, you know that Jesus talks about this thing I'm telling you about is that wine. He says, you need a new wineskin. And when I saw those old barrels break, man, I just said, God, are you telling us you want a new wineskin? And when I saw the wine run in the streets, I said, oh, God, let your Spirit run out into every street of America. Because wine is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of the joy that, you know, that's one of the signs that you're dry is you don't have any joy. You don't have any joy. Oh, you laugh every now and then, you know, but that's not the same. When you really have the joy of the Holy Spirit, it's all the time. You can enjoy your life. You can enjoy the blessings that God gives you. You can enjoy your husband. You can enjoy your wife. You can enjoy those kids most of the time. But you got to have the Holy Spirit. You must have the Holy Spirit. I'm inviting you today. If there's people in this house, I'm not going to ask you to bow your head. I'm just going to ask you to just like boldly do this. In the church, we have been so careful to try to make everybody feel super, super comfortable. Well, I just want to tell you, sometimes following Jesus is not always comfortable, but it's right. And sometimes you got to just be bold. If I said to people today, the first five people that come to the front, I'm going to give you $5,000. You'd kill each other getting up here. You would. Well, I'm offering you something better than $5,000. I'm offering you living water. I'm offering you a change in your life. And if you're dry, come on. Stand over here. If you're dry, come over here. If you need the Lord to touch you, I need the prayer team to come. All of you. If you're dry, come on. He's going to give you living water, Robert. I've known this fella right here since he was a little bitty boy. Robert, today's your day. God's going to give you living water. And everything that you've ever tasted before is not going to even compare to what God wants to give you. Thank you, Jesus. Living water, Isaac. Living water, God. God, I don't want to be dry anymore. Flood him, Lord. Give him a flood, oh God. God, just flood his being. God, go to every dry part of his body, his mind, his will, his emotions, his spirit, and his body. And I command every spirit that has been tormenting him and keeping him in a dry place, I command in the name of Jesus, you leave him now. Lord, I invite your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, come in, change, renew, refresh, restore. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. No more dry, dry no more. Oh God, in Jesus' name, God, fill, Lord, no more dryness, oh God. Restore, Lord, restore. In Jesus' name, sir, can I pray for you? Father, restore, I pray. God, bring life back into him. God, every dry place, God, he knows you. You have known him. You have walked with him. You know what this is that I'm talking about. God says, come out in the deep. Get off the bank. Get into the river and follow him. Don't be afraid. He's got you. He's got you. You're not going to sink, brother. Glory to God. Earl, take my hand. Father, in Jesus' name. Alicia, Vicky, lay hands on Earl. Father, in Jesus' name, I claim him for the kingdom of God. I claim, Lord, that every attack of the enemy and everything the devil's ever tried to do to destroy his life up until this moment be broken in Jesus' name. That every chain break off of him. That every lie of the enemy break off of him. God, I pray, flood him like never before. God, I pray, give him hope. Give him a future. Lord, give him hope and give him a future, Lord. Let him know there's a destiny in you. Earl, you absolutely cannot do this by yourself. This will require the Holy Spirit. You can't walk this walk without him. Don't try it. He's the one that'll give you the strength. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, set him free. Set him free. Every addiction be broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, set him free, Lord. God, that he can rejoice in you. He'll know the joy like never before. God, set her free from fear. God, from every hurt, every wound, every lie. You are destined. You know this. You are destined to be a watered garden. You were never meant to walk in a dry place ever, ever. God, I pray, lead her back to the river and may she drink so deeply in Jesus' name. Father, I praise you today. Drink deeply, Scott. He's your answer. He's your hope. He's your future. Glory to God. No more dryness in Jesus' name. No more drought. No more famine in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, I thank you today that you are the source of living water, that you're the well that never runs dry. Jesus, you're the well that never runs dry. God, don't let us ever walk in a dry place again. In a dry place again, God. You know the joy of salvation. You've known it. You've walked in it. You've walked in the fullness of the Spirit. You have heritage. You have destiny. It's not just all in the past, Mr. Chesney. It's in the future as well. God, water him today in Jesus' name. Water them, oh God. Change the course of their life. May they not walk in a dry place in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I don't know everyone that is at the altar today, but I know there are several. Please don't leave the altar just yet. If you'll just stand right there for just a moment, I want to pray over some people here today. I don't know who you are, but there are people that are here and you have never surrendered your heart to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, be Lord of my life. You might have prayed a prayer when you were a little kid, but you're not walking with God now. And God wants to just, he doesn't want part of you anymore. You've given him part. God wants all. He doesn't want you to just put your foot in the river. God wants you to jump in over your head and let him just flood you and cleanse you and renew you and strengthen you. God don't want you walking in a dry place anymore. You're a beautiful woman. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. The devil's tried to destroy you. Let him in today. Follow him. Go all the way today. All the way trusting him. Lord, no more dryness. Not another dry time. Not another dry place. He didn't call you to dryness. He did not call you to that place. He's called you to be well watered in him. He's given you living water. Walk in it. Drink deeply of it. In Jesus' name, oh God. Work a work. Lord, break every chain. Break every chain, Lord, and set them free. In Jesus' name. Lord, you've called them, Lord, to walk in a destiny that you have for them, a purpose you have for them, Lord. Lord, give them today, I pray in Jesus' name. I want to lead those of you this morning who are ready to rededicate your life. Is there anyone in the altar and you say, I'm ready to rededicate my life to Jesus? Raise your hand. Amen. 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 I see your hands. There's a lot of hands up here today. Pray this prayer with me. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive my sin. I'm sorry. Come on, be loud with it. Come on, forgive my sin. Take it away. My sin is destroying me. I'm tired of walking in a dry place. I want to walk in the river of God. I want to be saved. Wash me with your blood. Cleanse me of my sin. I give you my mind. I give you my will. I give you my emotions. I give you my spirit. I give you my body. Take me. I'm yours. I will serve you. I will love you. I will walk with you from this day forward. Father, I can't do this without you. Give me your strength. Lord, and when I get dry, remind me that your word will give me life. May I drink it deeply. Open my eyes to understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you so very much. If you want to talk to someone after the service, we'll meet you in the prayer room. It's right outside those double doors. If anybody else needs a time of prayer, I need prayer partners to go into that room and be prepared to minister to people. And now we're going to celebrate with some people that have given their life to Jesus. And they're taking the plunge this morning, going all the way, publicly declaring that Jesus is Lord.